Do we need to hold on to our eternal life? Well, that question is what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, before we get to today's exciting episode, I'd like to remind you of what we have coming up. It's something we're very excited about. It's our national conference. It happens once a year. And this year it's happening on October 26th through October 29th at Capel Bible Fellowship in Capel, Texas. We would love to see you there live, but if you can't make it, you can take part by going to faithalone.org. We will get the talks from our conference posted there at a later date. Well, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're taking your Q&A today. This is a question from Chris. And Chris says, I just listened to an episode of Grace in Focus Radio where you discussed the difference between believing, trusting, and loving Christ. I'd like to ask Bob if believing means being absolutely convinced, then do we always believe? More directly, I'd like to ask Bob, do you always believe? Are you always absolutely convinced, or do you sometimes feel doubt creeping in on the absolute certainty, and then you go back to the scriptures, pray, fellowship, and then become fully convinced again?
Good question, and there are several things about it. First of all, I don't like fully convinced. I would just say you're either convinced or you're not. I realize there are a few verses that in English are translated being fully persuaded, but really the word means persuaded or convinced. So first of all, I would just say you're convinced. Secondly, I think what he's describing is not unbelief or doubt, but it's temptation. I came to faith in Christ 48 years ago. If he's asking me, have I remained convinced for 48 years that I'm born again and I have everlasting life, the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. If his question is, during those 48 years, have there ever been doubts that have crept into my mind, the answer is yes. But I don't view doubts as unbelief, at least if doubts means the initial creeping.
Well, see, I was going to say doubt is unbelief.
Okay, I take it that doubt is unbelief if it blossoms into what we might call full-fledged doubt. In other words, let's say I know that God created the heavens and the earth, but a thought creeps into my mind, how is that possible?
Right, you can have that thought.
And that would be a kind of a doubt. But if I don't entertain it, it's not really a doubt. I mean, if you're driving along and you have this thought, what if I drove into this overpass and just took my life? Mm-hmm. Well, is that a decision to commit suicide? No. It's simply a thought that I believe Satan implants, and we get those kind of thoughts. And the same thing is true with believing in Jesus for everlasting life. You might have this fleeting thought that maybe this isn't true. Well, if you entertain that, pour some water on it, and let it grow, well, then it's going to become a full-fledged doubt, and you're not going to believe.
Right.
But on the other hand, if
and that's possible, by the way.
That is possible.
Because would you say that faith is like, sometimes we compare it to a light switch versus a dimmer switch.
Right.
You're either convinced or you're not. The light switch is either on or off. But you can flip that switch multiple times. It can happen once a day. You can flip it on and off.
Right. It seems to me that the mere thought that maybe I don't really have everlasting life is not doubt. That is a temptation to doubt.
Okay, so it's not flipping the switch. It's just a temptation to flip the switch.
It's a temptation to go over there and grab that switch. What he's describing is something that everyone has, even in other areas, but especially in the area of our eternal destiny, is we might have a stray thought that creeps into our head. And if that stray thought comes in, we go, you know, that's crazy. It'd be kind of like if a person had a stray thought that maybe I was adopted. Well, that's kind of nuts. But then again, I don't remember being born.
Right.
I don't remember anything before I was about three.
Right. And you could be wrong.
Yeah.
You don't believe that you're adopted, but it could be that you are.
Right.
And if you did find out, then I guess your beliefs would change at that moment.
Right. But the fact that you have this little doubt that I wonder if I was adopted, especially if your parents were kidding with you at one point and said you were adopted or something, or well, you're not really a Lazar, you're not really a Wilkin, you know.
Is this from your childhood, Bob? Well, is this, are you, were you told this when you were a kid?
I hate to say it, but yeah, that was part of my upbringing.
So Chris's kind of follow-up question is, if you do sometimes feel doubt creeping in on the absolute certainty, then you go back to the scriptures, pray, fellowship, and then become fully convinced again. When I read that, I thought to myself, for me, that's true of anything. If I start doubting, let's say, who the current prime minister is of Canada, I'm going to go check my sources to eliminate the doubt. I'll just look it up. I'll be like, oh, yeah, it is Justin Trudeau. Or if I'm not quite sure of a certain fact, and I start I thought I knew it, and then I start doubting it, well, then I'm going to look it up. And in case of the scriptures, right, I mean, if I'm doubting my salvation, one way to solve that is go back to John 3:16.
Exactly.
Look up Jesus' words again. Get rid of those doubts.
And I guess all I'm saying is the fact that a person has a temptation to stop believing does not necessarily mean the person has stopped believing.
Right.
Just because a fleeting thought creeps into your head doesn't mean you've come to the point of doubting. I guess here's a good way to think of it. At the moment Chris is thinking that, does he know that Jesus promises he who believes in me has everlasting life? And is he thinking that way? Well, if he is, then it doesn't have to be like he describes it, because he almost describes it like it's going to take hours or days to defeat this thought that creeps into your head.
Yeah.
I think it takes seconds to defeat the thought that creeps into your head. No, Jesus said, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I believe in him, I have everlasting life. It doesn't grow into unbelief.
Well, here's a follow-up. A related question, I'd say, from Tim. And Tim says, can you please write an article or direct me to understand better how the Lord Jesus commanded us to hold on to our assurance but not our eternal life? And what's the difference between holding on to assurance and holding on to eternal life?
Yeah, that's a good question. The reason why we could talk about holding on to assurance, I recently wrote an article about the Greek word kateko, which means to hold or to hold on or to hold fast. And in 1 Corinthians 15:2, it's we're to hold fast to the gospel, which Paul preached, so that every day of our Christian lives we're holding fast or holding firm to the fact that Jesus died for us.
Uh-huh.
He was buried. He rose from the dead. He appeared to people. And we live at the foot of the cross. We live at the entrance to the empty tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And that informs our daily life, right? And so we're holding fast. And there's lots of verses that talk about this theme of holding fast. And of course, that ultimately relates to holding fast to our assurance.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we need to do that is because our assurance can be lost.
Right.
But everlasting life can't be lost.
Right.
So we're not commanded in the scriptures to hold fast to eternal life because we already have it. But having said
isn't there a verse that says that?
Well, there are a couple of verses in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that talk about taking hold, which is a little different than holding fast, but taking hold to eternal life. I think they're 11 and 16 or 17.
In 1 Timothy chapter 6?
Yeah, I guess it's 1 Timothy 6:12.
Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
So this is Paul writing to Timothy, and he's saying, Timothy, lay hold on eternal life. I think what he's talking about is we've got this life to come. We have eternal life now, but we're not experiencing it in all of its fullness. There's a day coming when we're going to have glorified bodies, and we're going to experience it more abundantly, more fully. And he's saying, take hold of it now. Basically, what he's talking about is we can grasp the life to come as we live in light of the coming kingdom, as we live in light of Jesus' soon return. And so we're laying up treasure in heaven, and we're pleasing the Lord by taking hold on everlasting life. And I think it appears again, doesn't it? Is it verse 16 or 17? 17. Command those who are rich in the present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And then he says, let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come. Notice this, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Here it's talking about laying hold, evidently, in terms of the future, and that's that fullness. But when he says earlier to Timothy, take hold of it now, it's grasping the eternal rewards, which are potentially yours. But that's not really holding fast to eternal life. It's really taking hold of it. It's a little bit different.
Right, and it's not holding on to assurance either.
Well, in terms of assurance, a verse like 1 Corinthians 15:2 relates to it because he talks about by which you are saved, which I take it means spiritually healthy, if you hold fast the word which I preach to you.
Right.
So holding fast to Paul's gospel message is necessary to be spiritually healthy. And I think, especially in light of the book of 1 John, where we find false teachers who are trying to deceive them concerning eternal life, 1 John 2, 24, 25, 26, and they need to hold fast to the testimony of God, 1 John 5, 9 to 13, in order to retain assurance, 1 John 5, 13. It seems to me that there's no problem with saying, yes, we need to lay hold or hold fast to assurance, but not to eternal life.
All right, so to summarize, whether or not you are born again, whether or not you have eternal life, is an objective fact.
Correct.
You don't need to hold on to it. Jesus needs to hold on to it, right?
And he does.
And he does. He says, you're in his hand, and no one can pluck you out of his hand.
Exactly.
But then there's a future experience of eternal life, which is uncertain, you know, riches, eternal rewards.
Right.
And you do need to lay hold of that.
Correct.
And then thirdly, there is assurance. And assurance, you can have it, and you can lose it. And
right.
So you do need to hold on to your assurance for your spiritual health. And one way of doing that is going back to the basis of your assurance. Go back to the Word. Listen to what Jesus said about eternal life.
Exactly.
Well, very good. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. And if you have follow-up questions, we'd love to hear from you. Send them to radio@faithalone.org, or you can go to our website, faithalone.org, and you can look up your questions there. We have hundreds and thousands of articles for you to peruse.
See you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about how we know that the Bible is inerrant, so you don't want to miss that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.